WCNO. Listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning on this kind of rainy Tuesday in the first part of April. Welcome to A Biblical Response. I'm David Francoeur, kind of a host slash moderator, and I've got a room full of wonderful co-hosts that I'm going to introduce right now. Keith Masters, man, good morning, bro.
Good morning, Brother David. How are you?
Man, I am grateful to be alive.
Amen.
And even though it's a slightly soggy day like today, it's a blessing because my grass needs it. You know, the grass is looking kind of peaked over the land.
So does mine.
Yeah, and everything else that got frozen, you know.
Yep.
Hopefully they'll come back.
Yep.
But, yeah, this is great. And Ann Limhoko, good to see you again.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be here. I'm excited for today, actually, because I think it's a message that really needs to be heard.
I am definitely excited about it, too. And as always, you know, we a sense of spiritual heaviness that we share as a team in presenting any truth from God. And now, last but not least, is Stephanie Jacobson. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's really cloudy out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I barely got across the street without getting wet. Oh, I did get wet.
You did get wet, right. But, you know, we dry off pretty good in here.
I'm dry now.
Yeah. And as much as it's wet outside, but inside, it hasn't. Thank God for the roof.
Yes.
And
for the protection.
We have a good roof. We have a good roof
and
over
for umbrellas. Thank God for
umbrellas are tremendous.
Mine is sitting right by the front door.
It's
just
funny
so you know
what you thank God for on days like this, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a lot less of a challenge than scotch guarding your body every day. You know, spraying down before you leave and that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a powerful program for you today, and I'm just going to intro the theme. In the news is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley's intent to pass legislation for the regulation of the abortion pill and to establish a hotline for women who have had a chemical abortion who can leave their stories on that hotline. During this program, we will examine Senator Hawley's intentions and look deeply into the larger issue of abortion and the particular egregious pain and suffering the abortion pill causes, not just for the mother aborting her child, but into the larger community that surrounds her. Along the way, we'll offer certain scriptures for your consideration that underscore our godly concerns. Stephanie will take the lead in this report. Her considerable experience as a post-abortive woman with a divine calling to bring the truth of abortion right into the center of the church puts her at the forefront of this discussion. I will tell you that some portions of this report will be difficult for some to hear. However, the truth is not always sweet and comfortable to swallow. We have just come through the season that focuses on the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Good Friday story is stark, bloody, and heartrending. Yet, it leads to the wondrous resurrection of our Messiah and the promise that when we ourselves are in Christ, we can have that same new life. The abject truth of the abortion issue must lead hearers of that truth to a much closer walk with Jesus, a greater abundance of spiritual and mental clarity concerning where God's heart is on the subject, and in the anointing of the Spirit of God, a refreshed effort
Amen.
To get in the fight.
Yeah.
This is a spiritual warfare at its most vital. Stephanie.
Thank you, David. That was beautifully written and beautifully read, and I appreciate what you've done toward this particular program. as a warning, a further warning going into this program, if you've had an abortion and you find yourself struggling or to listen to us or actually anyone, if you're talking to anybody and anything triggers you about the abortion that you had, please reach out. I'm going to give you a number. We'll give it again at some point. But this is a helpline, and these women are professionally trained and have experienced their own abortion story. I'm one of those women that I'm on that line, and I'd be answering your phone calls at some point. But they'll listen, and they'll be able to help you get healing and help. And there is hope, because I'm living proof of it. So that number is 866-721-7881. And I ask you to write it down, 866. You may find somebody that needs it besides you. 866-721-7881. So this subject, some of you already know, is near and dear to my heart, as I have experienced two abortions back when I was in my teens. And even though I knew God forgave me, I carried that shame and guilt silently for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I finally went through a healing journey that was guided by other healed post-abortive women, and they walked through it with me. And again, if you need healing, this is my story is a good example of what you need to do. But I would say, do not wait. Sooner than later is better. Because forgiveness is one thing, and it's in a moment's time. But after a sin of any kind, there is a healing process, and it depends on what that sin is. But abortion is one that digs to the heart of God. And when we sin against God with abortion, there are consequences that come that are different than other people. And so, not that they're bigger or whatever, but there is something that the Bible speaks about a sexual sin being a sin against the body or inside of the body. And it is near and dear to the heart of God. So that's why we should be speaking about this in the churches, because it is near and dear to the heart of God. As I move on, I want to speak obviously to the general audience out there. I would like for everyone to listen to this, because you may know someone that needs healing. And so that number is important, 866-721-7881. But I want to put an emphasis today on the women and men who have actually experienced abortion. This program, listen to it closely. Understand that there is help, but understand also that I'm here today to give you a kind of a stepping stone or a call to action. Those that have gone through the actual experience are needed. Their voice will hit a nerve with someone else that's had an abortion, and God is calling us to speak out. So I use the verse a lot of times in my ministry, Esther 4:14, and I've spoken this on the air before too, but I'm going to reiterate it. Esther 4:14 says, "Or if you do not speak." Now this is, this is my own, what is it called? Help me out here. Like, it's not, this isn't what the actual scripture says, but I'm going to interpret it.
Paraphrase.
Yeah, paraphrase. Thank you. I'm going to paraphrase it. All right. So I'm paraphrasing. If you do not speak, mm-hmm. So that call to speak, we've got to speak about that deep, dark, dirty sin that's held us captive, right? Mm-hmm. If you do not speak, help will rise from another place. God has someone that will talk to somebody else about it, but he's calling you because he's called you to speak. If you do not speak, help will rise from another place. Mm-hmm. Now there's a warning, but your house will be destroyed. That is...
Oh, yeah.
An interesting warning, because what is it? The coffee cup scripture, for you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we always talk about that when you say Esther 4:14. Mm-hmm. But if you look back at the scripture in the context of that scripture, there's a warning. Mm-hmm. And we need to heed that warning, because that house may be your own body. That house may be, you know, who knows, the children that you have now. You know, you don't know what God, there are consequences to our sins. Mm-hmm. And they're big. I mean, they are.
It's a sin if the Lord tells us to do something and we don't do anything about it. It says that in the Bible, right, Stephanie?
Yes, it does.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all good. Well, and it talks about this too in Revelation. I'll get that scripture later. But today we want to address, essentially starting with Josh Hawley and what he's doing. We're going to get back to the news hook on this. That Ann so lovingly always tells us next week, we need a news hook. We need a news hook.
Sorry. No, but this is a great news hook, because he just introduced legislation on March 11th.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk really quickly about it?
Yeah,
there's
please.
Not much on it, but Senator Josh Hawley, he's one of our two senators from your great state of Missouri, where Stephanie's from, introduced legislation just March 11th, so not even a month ago. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Safeguarding Women from Chemical Abortion Act. It's Senate Bill 4066, if anybody wants to look it up on congress.gov. But there also is going to be a House companion legislation by Congresswoman Diana Hershbarger. She's from Tennessee, 1st District. Mm. And Stephanie, do you want to talk about the bill? I think you're more, it's basically to ban the chemical abortion drug.
Mifepristone.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we start, I want to go into deeper. I want to do something that is kind of off of the bill a little bit, the subject of the bill. I want to put out there that there is a difference between an abortion pill and the morning after pill.
Mm.
And we talked about this yesterday on when we were trying to figure out what we're going to talk about today. Mm. And it's kind of confusing, and I want to make sure that we know the difference between them. So plan A would be contraceptions. Plan A to not have a pregnancy would be considered contraceptions. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, the pill we talk about. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the plan B is a pill that can be taken like up to 48 hours afterwards, after sex, mm-hmm. for a conception not to happen. So it actually does not allow a conception. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but that's just an overview. So the abortion pill is not plan B. The abortion pill can be taken from the time that you have sex. They don't normally know they're pregnant, but by the time you know you're pregnant, mm-hmm. is usually what, 4 weeks, because you miss
your period.
A period. Yeah. Right. So from that point, they can take this pill up to 11 weeks and 6 days, which is almost 12 weeks. Now think about that. That's three months of a baby's, you know, a baby's growth in a mother's womb. I mean, it's really hard to let people understand, or have people understand. Keith was having a hard time with this yesterday. He was like, well, what is plan B then? I don't know what it is. Mm. They are two different pills and regimens. Mm. One is taken right after sex, and one is taken up to almost 12 weeks after sex. And now we know that they have been giving this probably even later than that. Some of the calls that we receive, these women are seeing these babies in the toilet that are, you know, they're having to flush down their toilet. They're seeing, when they see their offspring in the toilet, it is a very disconcerting thing. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. they're seeing the revelation of what they've just done and the image bearer of God in the toilet.
Wow.
Whew. It's not something for the faint of heart to be having these phone calls, believe me.
Yeah, and I see why they call it plan B, because plan A is always not for this to happen. And then once they discover it, plan B, you always use a plan B to fix what didn't work in plan A.
And then if it doesn't work, you are pregnant, you go to the abortion pill.
Right. So
in 12 weeks.
Right. In that community, that's why they'd be calling it plan B.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until Stephanie said it. Yeah. It makes sense now. Okay.
Well, I had to figure it out yesterday for Keith because I was like, "Well, I just know what this is."
To put Plan B, you know, into that effect, it's a little disconcerting, you know. And that's just how they classify it as Plan B, to not have something happen that. Unexpected,
yeah,
but because of the actions,
go to Plan B.
Go to Plan B, and that's what it's called. It's called Plan B. I mean, that really hits to the heart.
Can I just speak into that for a second? Because, because here's what we know as Christians. Guys, we shouldn't even be having sex outside of marriage. And I will say some of these women are using these after they've had children in a marriage. So it's come to the place of convenience.
Wow.
It's not even that it's hidden. It's that I don't. You know, it's an open inconvenience. So we're way past that. But I digress at this moment. Mm. Going back to
the moral structure of America.
Thank you. Yes, that's
the
what I was.
The moral structure declined to that degree.
That's it.
Yes,
that's it. And so, in the churches, I would plead with the churches to begin to speak about the sex before marriage and what we need to be talking about there. Because, guys, abortion is a symptom of a deeper problem.
Absolutely.
It is a heart issue. And I know we're talking about other things today so that we can give men and women, you know, kind of a visual of where we need to go with this and how we can take action. But it starts in the heart.
Yes.
It is a selfish sin. I can say that because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And every sin is selfish because it's a sin against God. But it's a selfish sin. Because you're taking someone else's life.
Yeah.
This is not just a sin of your own. It is you're taking someone else's life in that moment. And that's hard to bear. That is hard to bear. That's why these women are having so many mental issues and so many problems. Mm-hmm. I was misdiagnosed with bipolar at 27, put on lithium. And by God's grace, he took me to a place where I understood this was not right, but it still took me another 20 years to understand that it was that deep of a spiritual issue that I was grieving my babies that I had taken the life of. So back to Josh Hawley. I've kind of gone down a rabbit hole there, but back to Josh Hawley. One of the things that he did was he wrote a letter to Danco to tell them that he was going to notify them of the opening an investigation into their business practices related to the mifepristone. As a growing body of evidence shows, women are suffering alarming rates of adverse effects from the drug. And
I think you need to talk about what Danco is, right?
Yes, Danco is the producer of the abortion pill. And as I'm understanding this, I haven't checked into this completely, but as I'm understanding this, that is really their only product.
Wow.
So it was, anyway, somebody can probably speak into that better than I can.
Yeah.
But Josh Hawley said that the concerns are particularly serious given that while mifepristone was becoming more widely dispensed, the abortion drug companies were able to learn significantly more about the drug's actual outcome. And those adverse effects were hemorrhaging, infection, sepsis, and other dangerous complications associated with the drug. There's insufficient regulation on this. They took all the regulations off. The FDA took all the regulations off of the drug. There are no regulations on this.
They don't do that with other drugs.
No. And so do you know what the REMs are? What REM is? It's Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategies for Drugs.
No.
Okay. Well, that means that most people won't know because Ann knows everything.
No, I don't. Keep going, Stephanie. No, I don't.
Almost everything, maybe.
I know. She knows everything. So this is the FDA set up this REMS. Which is Risk Evaluation and Mitigation Strategies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drug safety program that the agency can mandate for certain medications with serious safety concerns to help ensure the benefits of the medication outweigh its risks. Okay. Mifepristone there's only 73 drugs in this class. Okay. And it's in this classification that they have as a small segment of thousands of prescription medications approved by the U.S. FDA.
Mm.
This has a black box warning on it of the highest degree of safety warning.
Wow.
Over the last 10 years under the Obama and the Biden administration, including an initial in-person doctor visit to screen for ectopic pregnancy, all of these regulations have been taken away.
Wow.
So there's no follow-up visit that is necessary to check for life-threatening complications like internal bleeding or infection.
Mm.
And so we are being left with women that are coming into the emergency rooms with the sepsis, which is what? I mean, it can kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty serious.
It's very serious.
Yeah.
It's
blood infection and...
And the lobby. It talks about the abortion lobby, Stephanie. They organized so that these things would not be in place.
There's... Yes.
Clearly.
Well, the abortion industry is all over this. And when we think about Roe v. Wade being turned over, they already knew that they had this in place. And when then you have COVID and it puts everybody in a place where they can't go to the doctor. So what do? They start the telemedicine. And the telemedicine then accentuates and exacerbates this whole problem where people are now getting this online and it's allowed to be mailed and dispersed by pharmacies. And then they permanently removed the in-person dispensing requirements in 2023. Essentially, you can have this pill door-dashed to your house. I mean, it's it is absolutely excruciating to think about. One of the things that it did is it opened the door for abusers to obtain these medical abortion drugs online and force or otherwise coerce women to have abortions. And I'm going to tell you that something that I was on the on a call last night with a man that his name eludes me right this second, but I was on the phone with him in a Zoom, and his name is David Reardon, and he is from the Elliott Institute and is an associate scholar with the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And he was talking about coercion last night on the call, and he was talking about 70% of the women are coerced into abortions. Here's the thing. Coercion, we think of somebody taking them by the hand or by the nape of the neck and saying, you're going to go in here. Coercion can be very, 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 very subtle.
Yeah.
But in this day and age and in, you know, the my body, my choice, men will sometimes pull away and say, hey, it's your body, your choice. It's your, it's all on you. Well, because women have said, my body, my choice. So what do these men have the choice to say except your body, your choice? So it's kind of wonky. And you have to, it's very hard to grasp sometimes. What is coercion? Well, the women have kind of put themselves in that situation. The pro-choice people have said, my body, my choice. So the men have just kind of come alongside and said, oh, I don't have to worry about that.
Wow.
So we have kind of this situation that Keith was talking this morning when I came in, and I've asked him to to share.
Because the Lord put it on my heart. Because I don't think that men take the responsibility, and they put it all on the woman. And when I was in my 20s, that I had a woman, I was dating a woman, and she thought that she became pregnant. And there's just no way that I was going to have that happen. To change my life and to alter my life, because that's not what I had planned for my life. And at, so this was over 50 years ago. And we, and 50 years ago, and we looked and we went to a doctor. She said she was pregnant. I got as upset as you can get. And, you know, when the threat of somebody leaving you because you don't want something to happen, that's, I guess that would be the coercion.
That's
that you don't
part
even,
of the coercion.
You don't even realize
the
that that's what it is, the subtlety of it.
Oh, yeah.
And men doing things where they think that they're doing, that it's okay, I guess, I don't know. But we went to have it, we went to check it out at a doctor's office and or at a clinic, and it turned out that she wasn't pregnant.
Right.
So, but I had a hand in pushing that woman to go and make sure that she was pregnant.
Thank you for sharing that. That is so huge, because on the surface, it doesn't look like that big of a deal, because you say, well, this is not what I want. This is the selfishness in what you said was the same sin that she, as she went to have that test, would have, if she'd have gone and had the abortion, it would have been a selfish.
It's the same selfishness that I had that I wanted the sex.
Thank you.
So powerful, Keith.
It's a symptom, isn't it, Keith?
It is. It is. It's the same selfishness that I had when because, you know, she was head over heels for me. And to understand this, you know, the Lord opened my heart when he came into my life, you know, 13 years ago. And he changed my outlook on what was going. He turned my life upside down.
Absolutely.
And this is what God does for us. This is what Jesus does for us. And to understand, and I've been wrestling with this for a while because you've been bringing this up and bringing this up, Stephanie. And it's such.
Sorry, it's just in my blood, brother.
Well, God's been talking to me.
He's using Stephanie to get through.
You know, God's been talking to me because.
Amen.
It's about the men as well. And the men don't understand that if you know, number one, God is telling us not to do it, not to have fornication until you're married. And the morality of this nation has just deteriorated to the nth degree. And we don't understand that that's what we're doing. We think we're seeking pleasure. And the social norms for this country has gotten to the point where it's okay to have sex. And it's not. It's not, because we're walking ahead of God and we're dismissing God's word in our lives.
Yes, yes.
And it's not just about what not to do. God will bless us abundantly if we obey his word.
Yep.
And you don't want that disruption in your life if you don't and when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the love of God is just amazing. So
amen.
To speak into the men's hearts at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
To speak into the men's hearts at this point in time. And, you know.
Is that hotline available for men to call? Sorry to interrupt, Keith.
That's okay.
Because what if they're carrying stuff? And who do they talk to?
Yes.
You know, this is amazing.
They could call Keith?
Helpline.
You can call Keith, but
you can also call. To answer your question, Ann, save what you're going to say because I want to hear it. But to answer your question, yes, we have men that the women will answer the call, but that we will get them to the men that are able to help them. And it's 866-721-7881.
Yeah,
good to know that men can call.
You know, this is amazing because I know that the Lord put this whole subject and your ministry to speak about this today. Mm. And I'm the one that said, you know, Stephanie, why, you know, you can do this program alone today, you know, because there's so much,
you have all this
information.
But look at how the Lord's using you to speak up, Keith.
I know. It's absolutely
He's trying to get out of the program.
You know, I'm going to break in here to ask Stephanie, because you're kind of taking the lead, as we said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're approaching break time.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable taking a break, or would you rather go through wait?
One thing I would like to do before we take a break is Josh Hawley has introduced a hotline, not the helpline that I just gave you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different number, and I need you to write this down, please. This is 202, and then I'll tell you what it's for. 202-224-6154.
Mm.
And anyone, well, it's not anyone, it's women, wishing to make a report to the Chemical Abortion Drug Hotline can do so by contacting 202-224-6154. And this is only for women who have had an abortion by the abortion pill. Senator Hawley would like to have women call and tell their stories so they can, and it's confidential.
That's probably his office number, too.
It is. It's confidential.
Yes.
And they do not have to speak their name. This is not one of those things. But that will give them, which is the senators and the legislature, like bullets to be able to kill the lie. Experiences will kill the lie.
Yes.
And that's why we have to
actual
speak.
Evidence.
Amen.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Well, we're going to jump back into this topic, and I just want to say, and going to take it back to Stephanie.
Yeah.
We're this, you know, this is a biblical response, and, you know, we're going to start talking about what does God's word say about abortion and these other related topics we've been discussing. So
Amen.
Pull out your Bibles and begin to flip some pages.
That's
Stephanie.
Good. That's good. Well, I want to, before we go any further, I want to reiterate that number for the hotline, not the helpline, but the hotline. For Senator Josh Hawley's office, it's 202-224-6154. I've asked Keith to kind of give some scripture on the encouragement of what God did with life.
Amen. But before you do that,
yeah.
I forgot to invite people to call.
There you go.
You may have been itching to call with a comment or a question. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. Keith.
Yeah. Hi, David. Okay. So something that the Lord just put on my heart, you know, when the Lord first came into my life and he rescued me, he asked me to sit down and write all my sins down on the table.
Oh, wow.
Really?
On a piece of paper. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. On a piece of paper. I just wanted to share this real fast. And I started writing my sins down, right? And then the thought just came to me. There's too many to write down and remember them all. And he said, "That's exactly right.
That's good.
That's exactly right."
Oh, that's
and
so
I,
good.
What did he say? He said, "Now burn the piece of paper in the kitchen sink, and your sins are forgiven."
Oh, that's beautiful. One of the scriptures I was going to read. And I'll go ahead and read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Romans 8:1.
That's it. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but
praise
according
God.
To the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to share Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, which says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
Mm.
Yes.
So, yeah.
God took it all, didn't he?
God took it all.
Praise
and
God.
And that's the thing for people to understand, and if you don't know the Lord, to come and to make me call the numbers that Stephanie has been giving out and handing out this morning, because if somebody's troubled or concerned or worried, to make that call and to understand that Jesus has forgiven you, just accept the Lord into your heart and ask him to guide your steps, and he'll be holding your hand the whole way.
And there's no sin that's greater than his love.
And
there's nothing we could do that will negate what he did for us.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It is so beautiful what God does in forgiving any sin at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you something. Abortion is one to really hard to get over. I mean, it is one that you don't, a mother, when life is pulled out of a mother, She becomes very angry. And y'all can see how angry our nation is. Mm-hmm. It affects everything around us. And so when you believe, when you realize that there's been almost 70 million abortions since 1973.
Wow.
70 million abortions. That's 70 million mothers. Now, I know everybody says, well, there's, I've had two, you've had two abortions. No, every abortion affects that mother differently. So if they've had more than one, they have to grieve that child and the other child. Both of my babies have names. They had personhood. I mean, they were real. And when you start to understand that they existed on this earth and they're no longer here, there is a grief that you can't bear. And that's why the foot of the cross is the place to go. That is what, you know, God has just, this is a scripture that is hard to hear if you've had an abortion, but it says, and we know that all things, all things work together for good. Now, how in the world could an abortion be something that is worked for good? For to those who are the called according to his purpose. We could get into theology of, you know, how God knew, the foreknowledge and all of that. But what I want to tell the men and women who have gone through abortion, it worked good in me because I was able to speak about the glory of God when my healing came. We got a call.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi. This is Pete. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, well, this is, you got a studio full of people, David, Ann, Stephanie, and Keith.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm weighing in on the abortion, and, you know, as a man, too, I got a girl pregnant when I was 17, and, you know, she elected to have an abortion, and I didn't say anything against it. I didn't, you know, I didn't weigh in on it one way or the other. And I didn't think I got away with anything. I mean, I really, after the abortion, I felt like I was neutered. I felt like, I missed my whole opportunity to be a man. And then 50 years later, well, maybe 40 years later, I had a midlife crisis because it weighed in on me that I'm a murderer. I let that happen. And, it was a serious grief. It was 3 years of grief. But that was the catalyst that the devil had a hold on me.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I was forgiven, but...
Pete... Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that.
There's a cost. And, you know, I ran into the woman again at a funeral, and I was happy to hear that, you know, she went on to have a family.
Yeah.
And then,
thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that, Pete. That is huge. And honestly, if you would call that number, write that number down, they will talk to you in depth about what you've been through. And I know you're forgiven. Yes. And you know you're forgiven.
Amen.
But I want to say this to every man and woman that's had an abortion. There is a journey after that of healing. God is offering that to you today. What an exciting thing to hear your story on the air. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Yes. I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to weigh in. And, you know, there's some more to it, too, because, you know, I was in that midlife crisis, and I knew I was under such attack.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, actually,
you're breaking in and out.
You're breaking in and out. We're going to have
to. At the same time.
Yeah. But thank you, Pete, for calling, brother. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
I will tell you, those are the stories that we hear on this helpline.
Yeah.
And we can get, you into the hands of someone in the body of Christ that will help you heal. And that is the best example. Pete, I am so thankful that you called. That just brings tears to my eyes because this is what I prayed for this morning, that there would be one person that would hear the voice going out. And I still get tears in my eyes when I hear these stories.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people all day long. I've taken over 1,000 phone calls. But God, every single story has a voice. That is your mission field, to speak about those. If you do not speak, help will rise from another place, but your house will be destroyed. So that is the calling on our life. Are you going to answer the call?
Amen.
That's great.
I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the book of Genesis, where right after Noah, Genesis, it starts in 9:1. Then God blessed Noah. This is right after the flood. And this is God's word. And his sons, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. That is the command of God. Be fruitful, increase and in number and fill the earth. And Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds human blood by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind.
Amen.
Yes.
9:7 says, as for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. He's very adamant
pro-life.
Yeah. He's very pro-life. Perfect word.
He is.
He's very pro-life. Jesus is life.
He's very much pro-life.
Then God said in 9:8, then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. And your descendants after
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Pastor David and Stephanie and Ann and Keith, thank you for going to this important mission field that is really hitting our broken world. I want to kind of say this without breaking up, but I came from a divorce of my first marriage, and I have a beautiful son and daughter, but they're in that millennial squeeze of the world's mindedness related to how family is. And I just thank God that the principles of the Word of God is like an anchor for the soul. And
Amen.
My heart just goes out to these women. And I just thank God for your voice and all of you that you're willing to go into like the wilderness of this broken and dark world and be able to say, we've got to do something and we've got to speak up. We got to be willing to put our arms around the ones that are hurting, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. And I thank you, God, so much for Pastor David that started this program, because it has just been such a beacon of light
Amen.
In such a dark time of being salt and light. And
Amen.
I just pray the church
Praise God.
Will really open its eyes and open its heart to what's Amen. Going on in this realm.
Thank
and
you
I
for that.
To just
yes.
Bless you all.
Thank let
you.
Me let me speak into that, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
I will tell you something. I'm gonna do this while while it's fresh on my mind. That is something that I am watching happen. I see this every day. I live this ministry every day, and I am watching. We've been so hard on the churches and saying the churches need to do this, the churches need to do that. When God gave me a vision, he gave me this dreams, and the dreams, I'm not going to go into them right now, but one of the things was the women were underneath the pews in the church. They were hiding under the pews in the church at the end of this dream, and I was like, whoa. It took me years to figure out. I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to pull these women out? And he's like, no, because there's millions of them. Where am I going to find them, right? And then I said, well, is the church supposed to pull them out? And he's like, no. Well, are the women just supposed to crawl out from underneath the pews in the church? And he said, no. He said, you are to be obedient to what I ask you to do. Say yes to everything I'm telling you to do. Mm-hmm. I am that I am, and I will change their hearts. Mm-hmm. And that meant the church, me mm-hmm. and the women. It is a threefold thing with Christ as the center.
Amen.
If we are all doing our jobs and doing yes. what God, what she said was about the church. I am calling the church out. Please open your doors. Please know that we are willing, as a post-abortive woman, we have healed voices that will come to your church and help you. We want to be able to do that. And that's the ministry that God has allowed me to begin to start. And David, you want to kind of talk into that a little bit and what you've seen happening with it? I'll take it over here in just a minute.
The thing that the Lord reminded me of that I want to intro as you move into talking about Bulletproof Alliance, which is the ministry God has called you
yes.
to steward. Move those people out from underneath, the women out from underneath the pews. But, and Stephanie, and oh, I have many conversations with Stephanie about this ministry and where her heart is. We were talking on the phone this weekend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were talking, I got this image of a battlefield. And I would just share that with Stephanie, and she resonated with it. But I think it's important to reiterate that,
mm-hmm.
that right now, at this stage in the life of the ministry that she calls Bulletproof Alliance, which is really to reach out to the post-abortive women and bring them to a place of healing.
And men.
And men, right, to a place of healing
mm-hmm.
and restoration. And that's two-thirds of what I think the ministry is all about, and you can correct me, but said it was like a battlefield, and if you look out over a battlefield, and, you know, it's smoky, and there's screams of the injured and blood all over the, and the implements of battle that are laid out on the ground, and what the Lord showed me that, and then what he used that to define, at least this stage of the life of Bulletproof Alliance, because it is a ministry going out into the battlefield to the wounded.
Amen.
And to bring ministry to the wounded, bring healing to the wounded. Not so much that they get well, because that's important.
Sure.
But then the wounded become part of the army.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
And it's wounded healers then going out into, and when I have to tell you this, and I told this to Stephanie, and I really believe God told me this, that is, this battlefield is in the church first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
and
true.
Within mm-hmm. Western Christianity, if I may say,
amen.
At least, is that the devil has built strongholds over many, many generations.
Mm.
And that our first, the battlefield first for so many of us that are being led in the Spirit is to go into the church and to speak God's truth where it's painful and difficult, but where God wants his people to have a heart change.
Amen.
And this is what God gave me to help me understand better
That's
the ministry
beautiful.
Of Bulletproof Alliance.
Amen. Thank you, David. And we were speaking this weekend, and we don't always talk on the phone a lot, but you know, we do the Monday time on our WhatsApp.
It was too windy for smoke signals.
So we just had this rare phone call mm-hmm. that was so confirming for me of what God is doing
wow.
right now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to share with David the 10 years that God has had me steward these dreams. And, you know, dreams are like air. You can't, you don't really see them. You don't, they're just there. And mm-hmm. sometimes they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And these have not, and it is very evident that what you said this weekend, David, spoke right into these dreams that he gave, and it was almost this confirmation that I needed to be able to do this show today, because I haven't asked to do anything on abortion since I've come here. This is the first time, and I felt like this was my platform.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, I thought, well, it would be a platform to talk about abortion. God had a timing on this,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to stand.
Mm-hmm.
The time is now. And David talked about a tsunami on the call, and he was so right. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I can't make this stuff up. This is something that God has been stewarding in me to steward.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministry is called Bulletproof Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It is for a community for women mm-hmm. and men, but right now it's mostly the women that I saw in these dreams. And those dreams, what I saw was millions of women as far as my eye could see.
Is that what the tsunami means, Stephanie?
Well, he likened it to a tsunami.
Okay, got it.
He was the one, David likened it to a tsunami.
Wow.
So, and he didn't even know what I was talking, what I was going to say to the fullness of what I know. And so he was talking about in 2026, it's going to be like a tsunami coming. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea. But I had seen these women and God showed me that they were dressed in battle fatigues and their voice had been cut off. That was in the first night. The second night I had I was in the same dream, only I was in the dream this time with battle fatigues on and my voice was cut off, but they were looking at me to lead. And that started down 10 years of this road to bring Bulletproof Alliance that launched January the 11th, 2026. He gave me the promise that it would be 10 years before I would know why I was afflicted.
Wow.
And this year, it's coming. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how close it is. But you can go on to bulletprooftruth.org. We're getting ready to beef that website up. But you can kind of get a visual of who we are. And it's a call out to not the pro-life movement. We have a pro-life, you know, movement. That's not what this is. This is the healed voices coming together as one voice, millions of hearts, silencing abortion through truth. And so these testimonies that these men and women have will be the bullet that will kill the lie that we believe in this nation. And God is going to be raised up through this. I can't, it's really hard to explain everything, but just let me say that if you want to talk to me about it, if you've had an abortion or you know of someone that's had an abortion, please have them call me or actually go to my website and or my email. I'll give you my email address. That's Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. And you can also go to my website, bulletprooftruth.org. But it is a call. It is a call to the women. We're going to be having an event on May 2nd. Here in, oh, it's not here. It's in Vero. I'm in Stuart right now. Palm Coast.
Palm City.
Palm City. Gosh darn it. I can't remember where I'm at. I'm all over the state right now. We're in Palm City. But this event will be in Vero on May 2nd. And if you want to know more detail about it, please reach out to me. And it's for women that have had abortions. And even if you haven't gone through healing, please, please, please contact me because I think it's important that we come together and understand that this is the beginning of the tsunami. I mean, there may be 40 people at this event or they may be 400 because this call is going out for the state of Florida. Anyone across the state of Florida that's had an abortion so and is ready to stand up and fight. But I see this thing being something that will go from state to state. And that God, as I was moving to Florida 5 years ago, God gave me a word. I had packed everything into my little Toyota Camry that I owned and moved here. He used my parents to get me here as a vehicle to get me here to say, you need to be here. And yet it was because he needed me on this radio station today. He needed me to be on the board of CareNet for 3 years to learn more and more and more about abortion. He needed me to have the connections that I have right here. But what he told me on my way down here as I crossed the Georgia-Florida border was that I'm going to make the Treasure Coast a treasure to the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live in the Treasure Coast.
Yeah.
There's no, everything that's happened on this journey, you can't make up. You can't put the pieces together that he can.
There's no coincidences with God.
No.
Stuff he planned before he made anything.
Before the beginning of time. Yeah. He created time and space so we could know him, right? And I'm running out of time, guys.
There's no coincidence and there's no happenstance.
No, yeah. There isn't.
Amen.
Not with God. Not with God. He brings everything to fruition.
Praise God.
That yes. He create that Amen. He said before time. Praise and we God. Don't know what that is yet. We really don't.
No. Can I read Genesis? I wanted to continue.
Yes,
just
please.
with the life, and you know, yes. We're speaking into life here.
Yeah.
In Genesis, where this is where God is talking to Noah after the flood, and he's telling Noah and his family to go and multiply. And in chapter 9, this is all it is all there. And God said in verse 12, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations." That's
all
everlasting.
Means all
generations. For all generations to come. "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Mm-hmm. And in verse 16, he goes on to say, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds,
oh, I love it.
I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth."
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Keith.
I would like to reiterate the resources one more time before the end of the program.
Yep.
So if you've had an abortion or you even are considering an abortion, we would love to be able to help you on the helpline, H3 helpline. That's 866-721-7881. And we want you to call. We love you, and we want you to call. Not be alone anymore. I'm going to give the U.S. Senator Josh Hawley's number for the hotline. And any woman wishing to make a report about the chemical abortion, the abortion pill that she took and feels detrimentally hurt her, which is everyone that takes it, to please call this 202-224-6154. And then the last resource I would give to you is my own Bulletproof Alliance. And that is Stephanie@bulletprooftruth.org. That's my email. And the website is bulletprooftruth.org.
And if I can say, in the book of Proverbs, which God gives the wisdom on how to live life,
yes.
And Proverbs 4:5, 4:5, 6, and 7 talks about going astray and finding an adulterous woman, or the husband leaving the house to go next door, and all of the warnings that God gives us to stay, connected to your wife, or to not be engaging in sex beforehand.
Right. It's all over the Bible. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
so
sure. And it's the other thing. I just make a quick reference to this, but I did if I can do this, you can do this, listener. But if you want to know what 2,000 years of Christian history have said about abortion, you just type that into your search engine. In fact, you can use the AI component most people have.
Yeah.
Give you a nice overview from the first century onward to what, all referring to Holy Scripture, but what personages in the church have said about abortion. And, of course, it's all negative. It's all God is not into this. God is into life, and that it's murder, and it continues to be murder. And so many people haven't had the courage, maybe is a good word, to look deeper into that, but I think it's important that we do.
Yeah.
And we have almost run out of time.
I would tell anyone who hasn't had an abortion but would like to get involved, I will tell you that prayer for me is imperative.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely imperative.
Amen. I wish we had more time. But
yeah,
we don't.
We could have prayed.
Chuck Swindoll will be upset if we cut him off.
Yeah,
so
we don't want to do that.
Thank you for listening. God bless you all. We'll be back next week, same time and certainly same station.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com.
In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.